Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato at Chesapeake Energy Arena after the Thunder's 109-103 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. This was a surprisingly close game, although you could go either way. You could either say, hey, it's a surprisingly close game because the Cavs aren't good. Mm-hmm. And the Thunder has been really good, especially since Thanksgiving. Or you could say, Thunder's been really good in January when they've gotten a day in between games, if that, and played an insane number of games and have really gotten on a roll. These 4 days off may have taken them out of that rhythm. It could be close.
I wish one of us would have predicted something along those lines. I always knew that, you know, 4 days off was a little too much.
Oh. Is it you who said that?
No, it's not. I have no idea clearly what I'm talking about. You know, it's still year one for me. Just everyone keep that in mind.
No, you were excited about getting.
I was excited personally about my
days
time off.
You're selfish is what it's come down to.
It did do. Okay. We'll get to some of this later on, but this game was strange for a lot of reasons. I think the days leading up to it, off days, they practiced. That's a new concept around these parts and across the NBA. But there was a lot of time off. There was snow outside. There was snow. It snowed.
Like a lot of snow.
A lot of snow. I was in the Cleveland.
Stuart wore his booties and jacket kind of snow, and usually he just sucks it up.
Does he like the snow?
He does, but he hates his booties. So it's like, he looks like a baby deer learning how to walk for at least the first 5 minutes of the walk. And then he remembers and he starts, you know, frolicking. And then the next time we go on a walk, again, he has forgotten how to walk with the booties, even if it's only been a few hours. Sorry, this is neither here nor there.
I love the snow. As a child, I loved playing in the snow growing up here. It doesn't come around all that often, so you gotta love it. I was in the Cleveland locker room before the game, and they were making fun of Oklahomans for basically shutting the city down today, but that's a classic thing to do if you're from another part of the country, I guess.
They're like, this was the whole last week.
Yeah, exactly. This is winter.
This is our life.
Anyway, there was, you know, the crowd. Credit to those who did show up, but it was maybe the smallest crowd of the season. At least one of them.
So
not a lot of energy.
Technically, it was a sellout because they do it by tickets, but there were a lot of empty seats.
Yeah. Days off, snow, crowd, trade rumors looming over all of this, and we'll get to that later. But I think all of those things combined to, and you've got a Cavs team that's the worst in the East, and I think there's a natural tendency to play down to your level of competition.
Passing the Atlanta Hawks to,
yeah,
to claim the.
They're only 31 games out of first place of the Bucks, so. I think that's a reason why we saw a closer than expected game today.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
Those are all non-basketball reasons, though, so maybe I'm wrong on all fronts.
I think all of those could play into it for sure. I mean, it felt weird being back at the arena personally. But it was a weird game, too, in that the Thunder. We've seen so many games where the Thunder get down by a lot and come back, or get up by a lot and lose their lead. No one led by more than 12 points, which was the Thunder. They led by 12 points at one point. The Cavs' biggest lead was 6 points. And the lead changed 16 times. So it was just like very much back and forth. Like, you it's such a cliche to say it's a game of runs. It wasn't really. like if there was one game that wasn't a game of runs, this was all kind of just short back and forth sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even the quarter by quarter scores, like all of them were fairly close. The Thunder won the second quarter by 7 points, and that was the widest margin in any quarter. And then you look at some of the numbers. The Thunder shot 47%, the Cavs shot 46%, 39.5% from three by the Cavs, 35% for the Thunder. So the rebounding numbers were fairly close. The Cavs had 31 assists compared to 21 by the Thunder, but a lot of the numbers were close. And I think that's why when the fourth quarter came around, you know, probably a lot of people were surprised, but this was a game that, you know, well, let's just start at that 342 mark. It's tied 95, or excuse me, the Thunder lead 95-94 before a pretty controversial foul and then subsequent technical on Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, it was it was weird. So essentially, Dennis Schroeder, as he does often, you know, dribbled around the screen, got to around the free throw line. And then he stopped, and it was Sexton, right, who ran into him. And then there was an offensive foul called on Schroeder, and he clearly thought that was some bull. And he put the ball down and sprinted across the court to the opposite hoop and then just kind of grabbed onto the top of the padding and just hung, like, held on.
Mm-hmm.
And stood there, like, face at the padding for a while. And and before that, before he got over there, whistle blows. He's called for a technical. Billy Donovan challenges it. The call is overturned.
Yeah, he wins the challenge.
But the technical still stands.
Yeah, so and that's why it's strange, because Schroeder was clearly upset that it was a wrong call. It was a wrong call because they overturned it, but obviously the technical still stands. But, you know, Billy Donovan was asked about it after the game, and basically he said, Chris Paul used the phrase, I forgot what it was, something along the lines of, like, respect for the game or something like that. That was the only explanation. Billy said Dennis didn't say anything, didn't have any other actions except running down to the other end of the floor. And Chris Paul was sort of, I shouldn't say joking, I think he was serious that Dennis should ask for that, for the league to look at that, and so he doesn't have to pay the fine.
And then from the back of the locker room, you hear Dennis go, yeah, I need that.
These guys don't want to pay fines for technicals that they don't think they deserved. And it was a very key point in the game, because Kevin Love shoots the technical. It's tied 95-95 with 3:42 to go. And then the Cavs actually take a lead with less than 2 minutes to go.
Yeah. And then from there, well, before the less than 2 minutes, you have Chris Paul hitting a go-ahead.
Yeah, that was a clutch shot.
A go-ahead jumper. And then really, the game goes back and forth between 1, 2, and 3 points up until Dennis Schroeder, with 28 seconds left, hits an open three. And at that point, the Thunder's up 106-100. And it's like, all right, that's it. That's game.
Yep, that was the dagger. He had all the time in the world. He sized up the shot. He drained it. He had 30 points tonight, 10 of 17, 2 of 5 from 3. Went to the free throw line 11 times, which is a great number. He was 8 of 11 from there. And I don't know, it's like a broken record, but he continues to post outrageously good scoring numbers.
Yeah, this is his 8th straight 20-plus point game. 7 of those, he was coming off the bench. He started for one of them, but apparently 7 straight off the bench is the longest in the NBA this season. So he sure is making a case for that sixth man, which we bring up every time, which he would probably hate. But he's just been very solid. I mean, he's quick. He comes up in clutch spots, like we just talked about, that dagger. And, you know, yet again, leading the Thunder in points off the bench when you had, I mean, you had some of the main guys contributing, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 23, but Chris Paul only had 12. Steven Adams, it was a good sign for the Thunder that he played 30 minutes because he's been dealing with injury. He only had 6 points. He shot 2 of 5 from the field.
Yeah, Adams wasn't an offensive threat tonight. And again, like, I'm always wary of, like, one game plus minus numbers, but Dennis was plus 13, which is sort of an outlier tonight. Darius Bazley was plus 9 in his 17 minutes, but that just shows you that it's not all on the offensive end. Like, the guys after the game, Chris Paul, they keep bringing up how good his defense has been and just bothering guys full court. I mean, you've got some really young Cavs guards who have high ceilings, but they're just not there yet. Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, he was just pestering those guys.
Yeah, no, and he had a really key steal. I don't know if he actually got credited with the steal because right after, they may have changed this, but right after I looked it up and they'd given it to Shai because it was kind of a Dennis Schroeder poking the ball out and Shai picking it up. Oh yeah, here it is. With 12 seconds left, Shai was credited with the steal, but it was Dennis Schroeder who was guarding Colin Sexton, and he was the one who poked the ball out, and that was right. Dennis Schroeder had that three that I mentioned, and then Kevin Love makes a shot, and then Dennis makes one of his two free throws. So it's 107 to 103, and then the Cavs come up, Colin Sexton has the ball, and Dennis has this habit of picking up guys at full court or at three quarters court, which after the game when asked about it, Chris was like, yeah, if you're the guy bringing up the ball and someone on the other team does it, it's really annoying. Like, mm-hmm. You know, as a compliment to Schroeder, and it pays off. He pokes the ball out, Thunder get the ball back. And if his three before wasn't the dagger, that certainly was.
And even if, like, he's not more often than not, he's not, like, forcing turnovers when he's picking up guys full court. But you watch basketball, usually you can relax. Whoever's bringing the ball up can just relax a little bit. You know, walk the ball up the floor. You cannot do that if someone is picking you up. It just makes you work so much harder. Like, he's also working harder, but he's annoying the heck out of these guys who have to bring the ball up the floor. So he's had a really good season. He also had 6 assists tonight, 5 rebounds, so chipped in those areas as well. So good game by Dennis Schroeder. You mentioned Chris Paul. This was, you know, not a great numbers game for him. 12 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, but a milestone game, career regular season game number 1,000. He's the 10th active player to do that. Vince Carter is the not so surprising leader in that category.
Carter, who's in his 52nd season in the NBA.
Yeah, he's only behind Robert Parrish and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as far as total games. So craziness. But Chris Paul, number 1,000. That does not count playoff games. He's played 102 of those. And asked about it after the game, he said that, you know, he wasn't all that proud of it. He looked back on the games. He mentioned missing some games as a rookie. He mentioned missing 18 games as a second-year player. And I went back and looked it up because I was like, does he really remember if he missed 18? And he missed 18, exactly, like right 18 on the dot.
It's funny, too, that he goes back to those first instead of being like,
because he's had bigger injuries since then.
I haven't played that much.
He played 58 games each of the last 2 years. He's already at 50 games now. Yeah, he's only missed one game, and that was for personal reasons after Kobe's death. So that wasn't even an injury thing. So his ability I don't know if it's an ability, but him just being healthy this year has been a bit of a change as he gets older. And so, you know, 1,000 career games, that sticks out even more when you're still playing at this high of a level.
He's an all-star. Some other news that came out of tonight, besides that milestone game, was Terrence Ferguson is back.
That was big news.
It was. So he had missed 8 games for personal reasons, as I'm sure you guys are well aware of by now. But he ended up just sliding into the rotation. Lou Dort continued to start. And when he was asked about that post-game, so Billy Donovan said that it was a conversation that he had with him. And Billy Donovan even said when we asked him at practice 2 days before, because Terrence came back for those 2 days of practice that the Thunder had in their 4 days between games. And at that point, even Billy was saying, yeah, I mean, it's not a decision that we're just going to make. We're going to see how he does the next couple days. It's going to be a conversation. He's going to be involved in this. And I have to make a decision based on what's best for the team. And he's going to have to make a lot of those coming up because the Thunder has had so many guys have to fill in during January because they've been really lucky with not having a lot of long-term injuries like we've seen it for other teams in the West. But they have had a lot of little ticky-tacky, like an ankle here, a broken cheek there.
A left ankle there, a left ankle there.
So many left ankles. And so they've had to have guys fill in. And the guys who have filled in have done really well. And the Thunder's won a lot of games with them. And so it's been, they're going to have to make those decisions now of like, hey, either, wow, you did really well, you should probably stay in this spot, you've earned it. Or like, hey, you've done really well, also this other guy gets his spot back, but stay ready. That's not how they're going to say it to them. That was I should never be a coach delivering that news.
That's exactly how Billy phrased it. No, but it was, I think this was a very important decision and like a big decision. Terrence Ferguson has been the longtime regular starter. Now, there's a couple ways to look at this. Lou Dort has played really well, and that might mean he's going to be the starter going forward. This could also be a thing. Terrence Ferguson only played 11 minutes tonight. He could, you know, be a little behind on conditioning, whatever.
He said he was tired.
So that could change. But Billy was
not. It's not necessarily a permanent decision. So don't get worked up about this permanent decision that Billy Donovan has made. We'll see.
Yeah, Billy was asked after the game why he started Lou Dort over Terrence Ferguson. He said, "I thought that was the best thing for our team. Terrence is just coming back." He went on to say, we're going to have to figure out different rotations and different combinations of players. I think Lou continuing on is a good thing as of now.
Yeah, so we'll see how long that lasts. Also, Terrence was out for like 8 games is a long time.
Yeah, more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was almost 3. It was like a couple days short of 3. So that could definitely be playing into it.
Also, like, we got to remember, Lou is also playing on a two-way deal. So that could change things if he gets closer to 45 days.
Yeah, I don't... it's interesting because I think he's played well enough to earn a spot in the rotation for sure. I mean, obviously, he's played well enough to continue to start tonight.
And Terrence said as much after the game that he knew that Lou had been playing so well, and that he didn't want to ruin a good thing, basically.
Yeah. He was very complimentary of Lou. He was very, I mean, you always hear the word selfless thrown around about him. I don't think he took a shot tonight, and that's not uncommon.
Yeah,
because
he didn't.
He focuses so much on defense, and he had
one rebound and one foul. That's the only numbers on his line.
He'll have those games where he does, you know, catch fire from three, but a lot especially this year. Last year he had like whole months when he was shooting lights out from three. But especially this year, you'll see a lot of games where he's not providing that much offense, but is just shutting down guys on defense. So, yeah, so selflessness comes up, and that was very much a theme tonight in his post-game interview.
And there was a very interesting post-game moment, I thought, tonight when Chris Paul talked. And he had heard someone ask Terrence about Lou starting over him, a very fair and necessary question. And Chris Paul, I guess, heard that. And when he came into the scrum, he brought it up pretty much unprompted and did not like the question and talked about how selfless Terrence had been and was just very defensive of Terrence, which I didn't think was all that. Like you know, reporters have a job to do. It was a fair question. I don't agree with Chris that he got that upset with it, but it shows you how he feels about Terrence.
He said that, too. He wasn't berating. He was respectful about it, but very much was speaking from a player's perspective. And he essentially said, like, don't do that. Don't pin people against each other. I know that you have a job to do, but like.
That's not what it is, though. I mean, no one's pinning Lou Dort against Terrence Ferguson.
As a leader in the locker room, that was his concern, right? It's not. I agree with you that it was a good question and we got a lot out of it. And that is our job. But, yeah, I think Chris coming in, that's not our job to take question advice from Chris. But I think it does show how highly he prioritizes locker room chemistry.
Right. And he's also a huge Terrence Ferguson fan.
Yes.
This wasn't a new thing. Like, he has brought up the sacrifices Terrence has made on offense for defense so many times. And I think that's why he was a little annoyed. So, if anything, if you're a Thunder fan, you probably like to hear something like that. That this is a very tight locker room and they've got something special and don't really want to mess that up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And Chris is going to go to bat for his teammates.
Yeah. That's very true.
On the court and in the scrum.
You want Chris Paul on your side, I can tell you that much. He's a very influential person.
What else happened? Oh, well, another rotational thing that I thought was interesting was, and it could just be a today matchup thing, it could be going forward, but we got to see some Abdul Nader, which with how many guys they have at wing and such, you weren't necessarily expecting that. I think they wanted to get, I mean, Hamidou Diallo did not play, neither did Deontay Burton. But I think they wanted to get some of his shooting in there, and he was in there with some smaller lineups, but he played 13 minutes and Terrence played 11 and Lou Dort starting played 17. So that could definitely change as Terrence gets his win back. Because even if I don't know how much he was able to keep it, like work on this conditioning while he was away from the team, but even if you are able to, being in game shape and going through contact and you know, he's a guy who gets a lot of contact because he's constantly fighting over screens. Like, he's going to have to work on getting that back and getting completely back into game shape. But that was interesting to me that Abdul was the third guy who got minutes there.
It was. And just looking at Hami's game log, he has not, unless something is wrong, I don't think he's had a DNP coach's decision. He's either been hurt. He's just been hurt. He's been inactive. I think this is the first time this season that he hasn't played when available. So that is interesting because there's a reason behind that. Clearly tonight, Terrence Ferguson is back. Lou Dort is still playing. And then that last spot either comes down to Nader or Diallo. And we've talked about this a lot, but Diallo is much more similar to the Ferguson-Dort group. And clearly he's behind those two guys right now. Nader brings something totally different, and he's a very good shooter. Did not shoot, excuse me. I mean, one of two tonight. I was looking at Darius Baisley's line. But we've seen Nader shoot the ball really well from three, and he brings you something that Diallo doesn't bring. So that if there's a battle for playing time, I think it's definitely between Diallo and Nader.
Yeah, and when you have Baisley on the court playing the four, you don't have Gallinari, so you've lost your three-point shooter. And then offensively, Baisley and Hami kind of have similar skill sets.
Yeah.
So if you want something different, if you want a pure shooter, Abdul Nader's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Nader's shooting 35% from three. So, I mean, Hami, I think he's still under a 20% three-point shooter for his career, at least right around there. So he definitely brings a different skill set. I'm looking up right now. Hamidou Diallo, yeah, he's a 17% three-point shooter for his career. 18% this year, 17% last year.
And he is not going to be in the slam dunk contest, which when you, Joe, talked to him earlier, he was talking about how a lot of that deciding factor was going to be his health. So he's obviously cleared to play and healthy enough to play, but maybe not quite back to what he was this time last year.
Yeah, and like, you know, it was a fun conversation I had with Hami about that. And he basically said, I'm the champion. You know, I have... basically saying he doesn't need an invite. I'm not totally sure that's the way it works. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he ever got an invite. Maybe he did get an invite and it is a hell thing, but no, he will not defend his title. He is undefeated as a slam dunk contest participant. One for one.
Sure is. Maybe we'll get to see him a few years.
That'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Let him get his strength back. Them get his very confident in his elbow, you know, enough to do those honey dip dunks.
Yep. No one, we'll see if anyone tries to dunk over Shaq this year.
That'd be super boring if they did. Like, were you not watching last year? Also, I do not accept this unless you have a Superman shirt under your jersey.
That was a huge moment. Like,
oh, it was great. The showmanship was. Yeah. Perfect.
And to do it as a 20-year-old.
And he's got hops. Let's see. Do we have anything else game-related to talk about before we launch into some of this stuff?
I don't have anything game-related.
All right. Well, hopefully, you guys will be listening to this before any...
It was good to save this for the end. So, whatever we're saying, if this is already known, you can just
turn it off now. So we can't just ignore the trade deadline news that happened, but like also the trade deadline is at 2 p.m. Central tomorrow. So if you're listening after that, you know what's happened. Yeah.
So hopefully you're listening to this on your drive to work, or also a thing, something could happen in the dead of night and this is all going to be useless. But the trade stuff, I mean, we were... Honestly, it was hard to pay attention to this game. We were on Twitter. We were looking at all these reports. Gallinari's name comes up. I'm looking at the bench.
At
is he still
seven.
Over there? Is he going to check back in? Like, is he going to get traded?
There was a moment where I won't name names, but one of the people on press row, because you're trying to handle so much, and one of the people at press row stood up and was trying to check the bench and was like, "Is Gallinari not on the bench?" He was in the game.
right in front of us.
But that just shows you how crazy tonight was, where we were juggling all of that.
And that's a way bigger deal than beating the Cavs on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it felt sort of, you know, silly to write about some of the game stuff, because, like, player movement talks and speculation and trades, like, that's what makes the NBA great. Like, everyone loves that sort of stuff, even more so than the games, which gets a little out of hand. But, yeah, I mean, it's dominating talks tonight into tomorrow afternoon.
So we're at this point recording at 12:56 a.m. We had to we're usually not up this late after the game.
I had to look
game.
At my phone like, surely that can't be right.
It sure is, because we had to handle some extra blogs and stuff about trade talks. But basically throughout the game, it unfolded that the Thunder could be involved in a three-team trade with Memphis and Miami, that the Thunder's part of that would be, if it happens, sending Gallinari to Miami.
Yeah, and that's basically all we know. For I guess further speculation is that the hiccup in this deal could be the trade that the Thunder already has from Miami, 2023. They got it from the Clippers in the Paul George trade. It's top 14 protected. And, you know, if you're Sam Presti, you'd like to have the protections reduced or taken off of that. You don't know, are they looking for another pick out of this? If you get a first-round pick for Gallinari, that's probably what the goal was, even with the sign-and-trade this summer. Or maybe a young – I've seen all these – you know, people on Twitter, ask for Tyler Hero, ask for Tyler Hero. Oh. I would be absolutely stunned if they can pull something like that off. Maybe like Duncan Robinson would be, I mean, that might even be a lot. But
that would be a heist. But also, we've thought that before.
That's true. Maybe, we also don't know, again, this is going to sound so silly coming up, but we don't know how big this could get, how many different parts
right,
could be moving.
It really started out as, at least the reports, it sounded like it started out as a two-team trade.
Exactly. It centered around Iguodala.
Exactly. And he reportedly has agreed to sign an extension with Miami. And then the reports came in. So we need to give credit to where it's due. Mm-hmm. Woj is reporting a lot of this. So he reported the extension. And then you started hearing rumblings. I think the first one that we saw was from Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports, where it was like, hey, this might actually turn into a three-team trade. And we heard already that, I guess through Woj, that Pat Riley had interest in both Iguodala and in Gallinari. And so this is if they can pull off a three-team trade, that's a way for them to get both. Potentially the Thunder could get the top 14 protections removed from that 2023 pick, take on some contracts. We don't know what other moving pieces, because anytime
probably
that you have
some sort of expiring deals, they would get back anytime to make the money match.
When you have that many teams, I mean, even two, it's complicated. You start adding more teams. There's a lot of moving pieces in there. But it's tricky, too, and Bobby Marks of ESPN pointed this out. Because you can own this is getting very into the weeds, so I'll try to boil this down into the least boring way. But there are a couple rules on the types of future picks that you can trade. A, you can't go more than 7 years in the future.
That's right.
And B, you can't trade consecutive picks. So, you know, if you already have traded, so the Thunder got the 2021 and 2023 picks from the Clippers out of the Paul George trade. So they've already traded those. You can't do 2022 because then you're looking at consecutive picks. And you can't, and the protections go out to 26, and you can't go beyond that.
Yeah, and Miami's made other deals where they've traded picks, so they're just short on picks, which makes it tougher on their part to figure out how this deal is all going to come together.
It's a lot. So we'll see.
We'll see. One thing I will say, and I think this is relevant even after you guys already know what happened, is for the fan base. I think we've all known from the beginning that Gallinari, if someone was going to get traded, he was probably the most likely, given that he's on an expiring contract. The other scenario is to do a sign-in trade with him in the summer, which could get a little more complicated. But anyway, this team has far exceeded expectations. Far exceeded expectations. They're 31-20. They are the sixth seed. The Thunder is 1.5 games out of fourth place right now in the West. And, you know, we've written about this a lot, that any deals made aren't going to be for this year, no matter how this team is overperforming. But I'm very interested to see how fans react to this news of, this is a very likable team. They're having all the success. Why do you trade away one of their best players? Like, I think that's going to be a good test.
They have played very well without him.
They have. They're 7-1 without him. But, I mean, don't you think that's going to be a little bit of a test of, like,
yeah, that's kind
how
of
this process is going to go?
That's kind of the first test, because it's you're going to see a lot of that in the next few years.
It'd be easy to say, like, why are you trading Gallinari? Look how good we're playing. Stuff like that.
Right. No, for sure. And but that's also, it puts gives the Thunder a different kind of leverage than they would have had coming into this if they hadn't been overperforming, because they can always say, like, someone comes to them and is like, hey, let me undersell you. They can always be like, meh, we're having a good year. We may as well just go to the playoffs and play it out. Like, sorry, guy.
It could drive up the price, yeah.
That's how they talk. Can you imagine Presti saying, sorry, guy.
Sorry, guy. To Pat Riley. Oh, man.
Negotiating 101.
I would be afraid of that. Yeah. Now I've totally forgotten what
but
I was going to say.
Like you said, so the Thunder does still have the Gallinari's contract does put a little more pressure on them to do things. Because we've seen how patient that they're willing to be, especially with Chris Paul and
Schroeder Adams, all under contract at least through the end of next year.
So, I mean, we'll talk about this on our trade deadline podcast, which we'll do tomorrow.
Here in a couple hours.
Yeah, just 3 hours. So if they don't do anything, you're probably going to see a lot of movement this summer. If they do... Oh, no, still if they don't. If they don't and Gallinari's going into free agency, it's not... They're not 100% going to lose him for nothing. They could still figure out a sign-in trade. You just then have to be working with Gallinari and his representatives to send him somewhere where he wants to go. Otherwise, he can just say no.
Yeah. I mean, he could... Technically, he wouldn't... This is very unlikely. But if there was a team he wanted to go to that had enough cap space, they could just sign him. Like, there wouldn't be a need to to put together a sign-in trade. So, but...
And you've
again,
got, yeah.
We'll look at this.
Exceptions and stuff.
More the during our trade deadline podcast, which will be a lot of fun, but...
And a little more...
The Thunder are making the playoffs, even if that deal is made. Like,
yeah, unless they completely
collapse. It would take so much at this point. I mean, so...
Granted, they went on quite the skid last year after the...
Yeah, I just... You look at this Western Conference and... I don't know. Maybe we can have more of this discussion tomorrow.
We definitely will, especially once we've seen where all the chips fall and who got better and who's just out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning into this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it. Love it. Share it. Subscribe. Share it with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your pets.
I got to say something.
Yes.
We need the help because Danilo Gallinari today told us that his parents taught him from a very young age to not read newspapers or the media or listen to the media. I forgot what he said. So please
don't be like Danilo Gallinari.
It was so funny. He said it with such a straight face. My parents taught me from a very young age, do not read newspapers.
He's said it so many times, too. So it's not like he accidentally told us we didn't matter.
I wanted to be like, hey, man, I appreciate it, But also, no one reads newspapers. We're fighting against that. We're trying our best already. But it's
be
just
like
it's such
Thompson.
An old-fashioned thing to say in the first place.
Be like Clay Thompson. Read newspapers.
Now that would be cool. Yeah. We should have left like a parting gift or something and like just hand him the copy of today's Oklahoman. Anyway, sorry for interrupting the ending.
Share it with your MBA friends who don't like to read newspapers and open their eyes to how much fun it can be, because, you know, unless you're getting traded and finding out. If you're finding out in the print paper that you've been traded,
great.
You're a little behind.
Man, I want to go back to the old days. No one knows who got traded until they read it in the newspaper.
You get a whole news cycle where your scoop just wins.
But alas, here we are.
We'll still have lots of great breaking news and stuff for you.
That's true.
We've got a ton up right now.
And we're also going to have a live blog running throughout the day. So
you can, track all the movement around the league.
Yeah. And we'll be adding context to any deals that the Thunder make or don't make. Or where they stand after the deadline. So yeah, please visit
Oklahoman.com.
Oklahoman.com regularly on Thursday.
And buy the paper. It's nice. It's nice.
Even if Danilo Gallinari tells you not to.
Don't listen to him. It's fantastic with a cup of coffee in the morning. And we will see you tomorrow after the trade deadline.